Okay, today's daf is Yudale. We're starting the second parak. Very interesting daf. Okay. Yesh b'korbanot yachid she'en b'korbanot tzibur, v'yesh b'korbanot tzibur she'en b'korbanot hayachid. We're going to make a comparison. You can look at the chart. Okay, there's things that are true for individual sacrifices that aren't true for communal sacrifices, and the reverse. So here's our list. And now you're going to see why we started with this. She'korbanot hayachid osim tmura. Okay, with korbanot yachid, you could do tmura. Ve'en korbanot ha'tzibur osim tmura. But communal offerings, you can't do tmura with them, right? We've already learned that. Korbanot ha'yachid nohagot bein bizcharim bein b'nekevot. Individual offerings can be brought from male or female animals. Ve'korbanot ha'tzibur ein nohagim ela bizcharim. But communal offerings can only be brought with male animals. Korbanot ha'yachid chayavim ba'achroyutan u'ba'achroyut nischehen. What does that mean? It means if I say I'm going to bring an offering and then I don't bring it when I was supposed to bring it, I can still bring it. Not only can I, but I'm supposed to still bring it at a later date. I'm responsible for it. I said I was bringing it. I have to bring it. Likewise with the nisachim. You remember the korbanot have the libations that go along with it. So if I sacrifice the korban and I didn't sacrifice the nisachim right away, then I'm still obligated to bring them. But korbanot ha'tzibur ein chayavim ba'achroyutan. If I miss my chance for the Korban Tzibur, like I was supposed to bring the Korban Pesach, it's only one sec. If I'm only supposed to bring the Korban Pesach and I don't bring it on time, I can't bring it the next day, right? I've missed my chance, I can't bring it the next day, and I'm not responsible to basically, that's Achrayut, I don't have to do it at that point anymore. But it's more like I missed my chance. And same thing with Achrayut Nesachim. If I didn't bring them, then, you know, when they were supposed to be brought, then I lost my chance. But here we're going to see that there's not such a huge difference because it says, if I brought the sacrifice on time, I didn't bring the nisachim with them, then, if you remember, when we learned about the nisachim, we learned that you could bring them even 10 days later, then even in a communal offering, I could still bring the nisachim at a later date. So there's not a huge difference between the nisachim of the tzibor and the yachid, because in the end, as long as you brought the sacrifice, you could actually bring the nisachim at a later time. Yesh b'korbanot ha'tzibor ma she'en b'korbanot ha'yachid. Okay, that was all things that are true for korbanot yachid that aren't true for korbanot tzibor. Now we're going to see the reverse. She b'korbanot ha'tzibor dochin et ha'shabbat ve'et ha'tum'ah. One can bring communal sacrifices even on Shabbat, whereas an individual sacrifice, if I say I'm bringing an Ola voluntary offering to the Beit HaMikdash, I certainly can't sacrifice that on Shabbat. And Tuma, if you remember, we learned many times, Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, if you have a communal offering and the majority of the Kohanim are Tameim, or the majority of the people are Tameim, or the majority of the meat is Tameh, you're allowed to bring the Korban anyway. But that's only true for the community and not for the Yachid. V'korbanot yachid einan dochot lo et ha-shabbat v'lo et ha-tumah. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, what are you talking about? V'halo chavitei kohen gadol upar shel yom ha-kippurim. If you remember, the kohen gadol every day has to bring a special mincha. It's one of the reasons they say the kohen gadol has to be wealthy. He can afford to bring this every day. And he has to bring his own par on yom ha-kippurim to l'chaper for him and his family. So those are individual offerings. Now it's interesting they call these individual offerings because they're not exactly the same as individual offering, but it is brought by an individual. So if you're going to stick to tzibur yachid, these are brought by individuals. Korbanot yachidin. And, no, you bring these on Shabbat. V'dochin et ha-shabbat et ha-tumah, right? No one ever said, oh, when Yom Kippur's on Shabbat, you don't bring the parah kohen gadol. You do. And the mincha chavitin they brought every day. And they're also doche tumah. So what does he say, Rabbi Meir? He says, you're wrong in thinking this is a yachid tzibur difference. It all depends on elah shezmano kavua. If it has a specific set time, then if there's a tuma issue where you can't bring it on time, or there's a Shabbat issue, we allow you to bring it on time anyway. Okay? In which case, he basically gets this whole thing off the list of differences between korbanot yachid and tzibur, because he doesn't think that's what it has to do with. Korban yachid, now we're going to start in the Gemara with a question on the first two. We're going to have a slew of questions, as you can see on the chart. On the first two things we said, is it really true? Okay? Korban yachid oset tmura. Uklalahu? Is that really true? Bahare ofo. In other words, is it true across the board that all korbanot yachid oset tmura? Here we have examples where they're not. Hare ofot. We already learned birds. De korban yachid. You can bring them as individual offerings. Ve'en osin tmura. We already said birds don't do tmura because the pasuk said behema be behema. So they say, oh, ki katane bebehe ma katane. The Mishnah was only talking about animals. When it comes to animals, these are differences between yachid tzibur. They weren't talking about birds. Bahare, second question. Vlad de korban yachid hu. The vlad of a korban yachid, right? And what do we learn about a vlad of a korban yachid? A vlad of an animal, a pregnant animal that was sanctified for korban yachid. Ve'en oset tmura. And here you said, all korbanot yachid oset tmura. So they say, ah, hamane Rabbi Yehuda. You could say that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar ha-vlad oset tmura. Because Rabbi Yehuda says the vlad is oset tmura. So therefore, just say the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, which we've already done to the other Mishnah. Bahare tmura atzma de korban yachidi. What about a substitution itself? But a substitution is also from a korban yachid only, because we just learned, right? You can't do tmura on a tzibor. So the tmura atzma, remember, the tmura also, you sacrifice, unless it's tmura maaser or tmura bechor, but all other tmurot, you actually sacrifice. So tmura atzma is a korban yachidi. Ve'ein tmura oset tmura. What do we see? What do we say? You can't make a substitution on a substitution. So now we have a case of a korban yachid, which would be a tmura, that doesn't oset tmura. There you go. They say, ah, kiktane bi'ikar zivcha katane. This is an obvious answer. We were talking about the main korban, not a substitution of a korban. The topic was korbanot yachid. A tmura is sort of an exception to the rule, and it's a derivative from a main korban. We're not talking about derivatives and things like that. We're talking about the main korban. So then they say, ah, well, if you're talking about the main korban itself, hashida'ati lahachi, this is classic, right? Once you answer this answer, well, you can go answer the previous question with the same thing. Afilu tema rabbanan bi'ikar zivcha katane. What did we say a minute ago? That, what about a vlad? And then we said, oh, maybe it holds like the vlad is oset tmura. But a vlad isn't ikar zevach either. The vlad is an outgrowth of the ikar zevach. So we could just say that we don't have to say this Mishnah is only Rabbi Yehuda, who says vlad is oset tmura. We could say that the Mishnah even follows Rabbanan, and a vlad just isn't mentioned here because we're not talking about the derivatives of a sacrifice. Okay, now we're going to do the same thing with the next section. Korbanot ha-yachid nohagot bein b'zcharin bein b'nekevot. Now we're going to talk about different types of korbanot yachid. Uklalahu, is this really a general rule? V'harei ola, let's start with ola. Ola is korban yachid. You can bring an ola as a yachid. You offer, you say, I'm going to bring a voluntary korban ola. V'zachar atya nekeva lo atya, and it's only zcharim. So how could you say korbanot yachid could be brought? It sounds like all korbanot yachid could be brought, whether there's zcharim or nekevot. This certainly can't. So they say, well, read it like this. Ha'ika olat ha'of. Isn't there olat ha'of? Detanya. Tamut uscharut bebeima. Ve'ein tamut uscharut ofot. Okay, this is interesting. A minute ago, we said we weren't relating to ofot in this mission. Now, all of a sudden, we're back to ofot. If you want to use ola and talk about ola in general, that ola can be brought with scharim and nekevot. Well, there is a case of an ola that can be brought. That's oaf, because there's no issue of tamut, meaning it doesn't have to be tam, it could be even blemish when it comes to a bird, and it can be brought with a nekeva. So what do you see? That there's a case of ola, so now it's not going to be all olot, but at least within ola we can find a case of scharim and nekevot, and that's with the olat ha'of. V'hare chatat, okay, let's go to the next one. What about chatat? Okay, chatat of a yachid. The korban yachidu unekeva atya, and a korban chatat is an individual offering. Right, you do a sin, you bring a sin offering, you're an individual, and it's brought with a nekeva, not a zachar. So now we're stuck with chatat. Doesn't make sense according to that. So what are the answer? Sorry, I didn't read the whole thing. Nekeva atya, zachar lo atya. You can't bring a zachar. So what do they say? Just like they did with the oath, they're going to say there is one case of a chatat that is brought with a zachar. Ha'ika si'ir nasi. If you remember, there were all those chatat. If a nasi yechta, right? What does he have to bring? Dimaite zachar. He brings a male. So there you have chatat. Could be brought males, could be brought females, different ones. It's not like each chatat could be brought either or, but there's chataot that are individuals that are zcharim. There are ones that are nekevot. V'ha'ika asham yachid. What about an asham of a yachid? Okay, a guilt offering. Dizachar ate nekeva lo ate. It's only male. Kika amri rabbanan korban dishave bein biyachid bein b'tzibur. Asham biyachid ite b'tzibur leite. All the others, Ola and Chatat, could be Tzibor and Yachid. What they're saying is, since our Mishnah was comparing Tzibor to Yachid, we're only talking about types of korbanot that could be brought either Tzibor or Yachid, whereas Asham gets deleted from the list, Bichlal. Asham is irrelevant. So it's true, Asham is only Zachar. But that doesn't bother us because the Mishnah wasn't talking about Asham, because it's only talking about things that could exist in Tzibor, and there's no such thing as a guilt offering for the community. Whereas Chatat, remember, there's the whole community sins, there's a Korban Chatat you bring, there are Chataot that are communal offerings. Next, okay, V'ibayit Ema, a second possible answer to this would be Mi Katane Kola Korbanot. It didn't say all Korbanot Yachid. Yesh b'korbanot katani. Notice the Mishnah started out, yesh b'korbanot yachid. There are among korbanot yachid things that don't exist among korbanot tzibur. So now, once we say that, umayni u'shlamim, let's just take one type of korban yachid, a korban shlamim, ibai nekeva ma'ite v'ibai zachar ma'ite, which you could bring either which way, in which case we don't need to find a case of olah, we don't need to find a case of chatat, we certainly don't need asham, that already we proved. But, right, we don't need Asham either, because as long as we have one, we have Shlamim, then we can say that the Mishnah exists in that case, even though there might be other cases where it's only one or the other. Okay. Korbanot Yachid Chayavim Ba'achrayutan. So now, at this point, we're not getting into Kushiyot. Now we're just going to start with, we'll eventually get to difficulties, but it's not like a difficulty in the Mishnah. Now we're going to start with background. Where do we get this from about the Chayavim Ba'achrayut and the Nisachim? Tanu Rabbanan. Davar yom biyomo. Okay, the pasuk here is in Parshat Emor when it talks about the chagim. Vayikra kaf gimel lamed zayin. Ela moadeh Hashem asher tikru otam mikrei kodesh. Lakriv ishe la Hashem ola umincha zevach unisachim. Okay, on the chag, what do? We bring ola umincha zevach nisachim. Davar yom biyomo. Okay, what does it mean, davar yom biyomo? They're going to darshan this. Milamed shekola yom kasher lemusafim. Okay, davar yom, it means it can be brought during the day. So all the extra korbanot musafim that we bring on the chagim can be brought all day long. Biyomo, what about the word biyomo? Milamed shemavar yom ve'en velo evian eno chayav b'achrayutan. This is where we get our law in the Mishnah that you don't have to bring it once the day passes, because it says davar yom biyomo on its particular day. You might have thought maybe you're not responsible. Right? You might have thought if you don't bring the nisachim on that day, then you're also stuck. Talmud lomar minchatam v'niskehem balayla minchatam v'niskehem lemachar. Now they're quoting psukim from Bamidbar Kaftet, where it talks about all the korbanot you're supposed to bring and all the holidays. Right? The Torah reading from today for Rosh Chodesh. So here it says in that section, as we don't read specifically this, but it says uminchatam v'niskehem laparim la'ilim v'lakvasim v'mischaram kamishpat. And then again it says uminchatam v'niskehem laparim. In other words, it designates, these are actually in the list of sacrifices for Sukkot. It says you bring this on that day, and then the next day it says uminchatam v'niskehem, and it repeats it. So why does it repeat uminchatam v'niskehem? To teach you, you could do it balayla if you want, and you could do it if you want tomorrow. Okay, they're not dependent on a time. Obviously, it's a drasha, right? It's not so clear from the pshat of the pasuk that that's what it means. But that's what they're darshaning, both at night and tomorrow. Rish Lakish amar. Now, here's an interesting thing. We had a braita that darshaned a halacha. Rish Lakish is now going to say there's another pasuk where we could darshan this from also. Okay, they're obviously going to say, why do you need both psukim? Rish Lakish amar mehacha. I could darshan that you could do it tomorrow from Milvad Shabtot Hashem. Okay, now this is back to Emor. Okay, it's the pasuk right after that pasuk that we read, Davar Yom B'Yomo. It says Milvad Shabtot Hashem Milvad Manotechem. These are the sacrifices you're going to bring in addition to Korban Shabbat. In addition to, okay, now what's Korban Shabbat doing on Yom Tov? So you could say if it falls on Shabbat, well then you bring this in addition to what you're obligated in Shabbat. But he darshans this to say that in addition, you could have a korban of Shabbat that you would bring on Chag. What would that be? If Chag was on Motzei Shabbat, Sunday, and you didn't bring the Nisachim the day before, so you'd be able to bring those Nisachim of Shabbat on Sunday. Okay? So you didn't bring your Nisachim from Shabbat on Shabbat. You could even bring them in the Beit HaMikdash on Sunday. So now we have to say, which obviously means that you can bring the sechim the next day. So, now they're going to say, why do you need both these psukim? It's very strange that Rish Lakish would darshan it when already there was a drash on the bright. Utsricha, you need both. Why? De'ikatav rachmana milvad shabtot Hashem, if you just have Rish Lakish's pasuk, havamina bayom in uvalayla lo. Maybe, though, you could only do it during the daytime. You could do it the next day, the day after, but only daytime. Amar kras, so the pasuk says, u'minchatam v'nizkehem, to teach you even at night. De'ikatav rachmana minchatam v'nizkehem, v'lo katav milvad shabtot Hashem. What might you have thought? Havamina balayla im b'yimam alo. You might have thought that you can only bring it at night. In other words, what's it coming to say? If you didn't do the nisachim during the day, you could bring them at night. But it wouldn't have necessarily taught that you could do it tomorrow. So therefore, the Milvad Shabtot Hashem comes to teach you on the Chag, when you bring your other sacrifices during the day, you can even bring the ones from yesterday. Umayshna, mishum debekodsh. Now, why would you think, now, here's a good question. If you could bring it at night, why would you think you could bring it the next day? Don't we usually say, right, it's already the next day. Once the night starts the next day in halacha. So basically, why would we think only they would allow you to do it at night and they wouldn't allow you to do it the next morning? What would be the havamina to say that? So they say no. Why? Mishum debekodshim laila holeich achar hayom. We've learned this many times. In the Beit HaMikdash, the night was connected with the previous day. There were all these things. They would let things burn on the Mizbeach all night that they had started during the day. And the cutoff point is actually the morning, right? When the sun starts to rise, alor hashachar. So basically, in the Beit HaMikdash, it's a little bit different than outside the Beit HaMikdash. Outside the Beit HaMikdash, the day always starts at night. But in the Beit HaMikdash, the night follows the day, and that's why you might have thought we'd allow it. Also, there's korbanot that can be eaten that day and that night, and not the next morning, right? So the night follows the day, and therefore you might have thought it. That's why they need to tell you. Okay, sriche. So that's why you need both psukim. Now, according to this, what did we darshan? Nisachim can be brought at night and during the day. That was that whole drasha. So now the Gemara is going to ask, is that really true? Unisachim mikarve balayla? Can they really be brought at night? The hatnan, it really should be a braita. There's a bunch of cases here where it says hatnan, it really means hatanya. It should say in a braita, not a mishnah. Eli ela dvarim shedarkan likarve balayla. Kigon evarim updarim. Shemakrivin mevo ha-shemesh. Umitaklim v'ochli ovochim kol ha-layla kulo. So we're talking about things that we generally sacrifice at night, like the parts, the body parts of the animal that weren't burnt during the day, right? You can bring them, you can finish those parts up at night, okay? And they can be left on the Mizbeach all night long. But that I understand. But what about things that generally get sacrificed during the day? Like, here you have it. Things that are only sacrificed during the day. What's on the list? So the komets levona, those are things that are connected with the mincha. And the mincha nesachim. So what do you see? It can only be done during the day. It's listed here as only done during the day. But we haven't finished the braita yet, and we're going to get to a question in a second. That these things, shema alami ba shemesh. These things get offered at sunset. And they stop for a second. They say, before they finish the braita, they stop mid-sentence. They say, what are you talking about at sunset? It makes no sense. It can't be at sunset. At sunset is the end of the day already. We just said they have to be done during the day. Didn't you just say, these are things that have to be done during the day, not at sunset. So, ela imbo ha-shemesh. What does it say? It means before sunset. These are things that are done before sunset. How do you know that even though there are things that are supposed to be done during the day, as long as you put them on the Mizbeach before sunset, shemitachlimbo, now we're back to the Braita, that was like a break to question the Braita, shemitachlimbo chim kol alayla. How do you know that these can go all night long? You can leave them to burn once you put them on. Minayin tamalomar zotorata ola riba, because it says zotorata ola, it includes things can go on the Mizbeach, and as long as you put them on the Mizbeach during the day, they can be left all night to continue burning. Anyway, that's not what's important. What's important is, katani mia, nisachim bayom. It said nisachim there in the list of things that are done during the day. And our braita said at night. So look at the chart. You can see we have a contradiction. So we learned from Minchatam and Iskehem, Afshar Balayla O Machar. And then this says these are only allowed during the day. We're going to have three answers. And you can see there's difficulties on the first two. Amirami Barchama. Lo Kasha. Kan li Kadesh. Kan li Karev. You can sanctify something to be nisachim at night, but it can be sacrificed during the day, okay? So, in other words, the It can only, let me say it better, it can only be sacrificed during the day, but one could sanctify it at night if they wanted. Okay? That sounds very nice, but it doesn't work because Amar Rava, I mikdash kache, kiruve mikarve. If you can sanctify something at night, then you can also sacrifice it at night. How do we know this? Vahatanya, it says in a braita, zeha klal, this is the klal, it's the general rule. Kola karev bayom, en kadosh ela bayom. V'kola karev balayla, kadosh balayla. Bein bayom, bein balayla, kadosh bein bayom, bein balayla. The time of sanctity goes with the time of sacrificing. If you can sanctify it, you can sacrifice. If it can only be sanctified during the day, you can only sacrifice during the day. If you can only sanctify it at night, you can only sacrifice at night. If you can only sanctify it, if you can sanctify it, bein bayom, bein balayla, then you can sacrifice it, bein bayom, bein balayla. So here you see they're integrally connected. You can't say that you can sanctify it at night, but you can only sacrifice it during the day. So that's not a good solution. Here's another interesting solution. El Amar of Yosef, Smei Mika Minchat Nesachim. The Braita said, Minchat Nesachim is one of the things that's done during the day, the second Braita we brought. Just erase Minchat Nesachim from the Braita. That shouldn't be on the list. It should just say, Hakol Mitzvah Halavona, and not Nesachim, and that solves our problem. Okay, we'll see if that really works. Kiselik Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi went up to Eretz Yisrael, which he had heard what Rav Yosef said about this, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael. Eshkachel Rav Yirmiya, diyate v'kamer mishmed Rav Yosho ben Levi. He heard when he got there, he found Rav Yirmiya, who was saying in the name of Rav Yosho ben Levi, minayim l'nisachim ha-ba'im ha-mazevach she'ein krevim ela bayom. How do we know that nisachim ha-krevim ha-mazevach are only sacrificed during the day? Talmud Lamar, he learns it from the following pasuk. Uli nischechem, uli shalmechem. Okay, this is a pasuk in Bamibar Kaftet, where it says, Ele tasu l'Hashem b'moadechem. These are what you should bring to Hashem on your holidays. Levad, in addition to, we're going to darsh to this pasuk later, so pay attention. In addition to, Nidrechem, Nidvotechem, Olo Olotechem, Leminchotechem, Leniskechem, uli shalmechem. In addition to all these other offerings, which presumably you can also bring on the Chag. Okay, we'll get to that later. So now, what they're darshaning now is the juxtaposition of the last two words in the pasuk. The fact that nischechem comes next to shalmechem, they learn, what? That mashlamim bayom, af nisachim bayom. Okay, so now, what is Rav Dimi basically here all of a sudden? That it's clear, forget about whether it was on the list or wasn't on the list of that other braita, but from this braita, it's 100% clear that nisachim can be brought during the day only because it says we compare them to shlamim. It says it explicitly. So he basically says, obviously, Rav Yosef was wrong when he said, let's erase it from the Braita. So he says the following, which is going to get the Gemara into a whole interesting tangent. Amar, I'eshkache dechtiv igarta, shachele le Rav Yosef. If I had the opportunity to send him a letter, like, you know, presumably, if I knew someone who was going to Bavel now, I would send him a letter and I would tell him that he made a mistake. Okay? Write down this halacha. And I would send it to Bavel and say, Rav Yosef, put it back in your bride tent. You can't just erase it. The lotismin, as I would write the following. The lotismin minchat nesachim mimatnitim. Okay? Tov, before we get to the interesting tangent, now he brings his own answer. So what's his answer to the contradiction? Third answer. The lokasha, third and final answer. This one won't get rejected. Kam benesachim abeim imazevach, kam benesachim abeim bifnei atzmam. When we learned about nesachim, we learned that there's two types. There's one that when you bring a certain korban, it has to come with nisachim. That's always in chatam and niskayim kemiduar. And, you know, this is what you have to bring. Shlosha asronim lapar, shnei asronim la'ayil, right? Depending on which animal you brought, there's a libation you're supposed to bring and an amount. But there's also a person could say, I voluntarily want to bring libations to the mizbeach. That you could do anytime. The ones that are connected to sacrifices, and sacrifices can only be brought during the day, can only be brought during the day. But the ones that are not connected to sacrifices can be brought any time, and that's how he resolves the contradiction. Okay. Tov. Now the Gemara says, V'havilei agrata mi efshar l'mishlecha? If he really had an opportunity to write an igeret, would he really been able to send it? Why not? Okay, not because there was no mail in those days, but ha amar Rabbi Abba, bereid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan, kotvei halachot kisurfei Torah, v'halamei mehem eino notel sachar. We're now going to get to one of the most famous sugyas of all of Shas about are you allowed to write down divrei Torah shebal peh? So he says, right, writing down halachot is like burning the Torah. You're destroying the Torah by writing it down. Okay? You're not supposed to write things down that were given Baal Peh. And someone who learns from them, he says, hey, no, no, tell Sachar. You don't even get a reward for learning Torah if you learn something that was written down. Okay? This is a very, very strong statement. Difficult because we're learning from a book. How do we deal with that, right? We'll get to that. So we're going to learn a little more, then we'll get back to it. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmani Mitorgan Rene Jewish Lakish. He darash in the following. Ketuv echad omer ktov lecha tadrei ma'ele. Uktuv echad omer ki al pi adrei ma'ele. Okay, first of all, it's a little strange that they say ketuv echad and ketuv echad, because it's all in the same pasuk. Here's the pasuk. Vayomar Hashem Moshe. Ktov lecha tadrei ma'ele. Write down the following things. Ki al pi hadrei ma'ele karati itcha brit ve'et Yisrael. Because by the peh, al pi, you know, orally, I created a brit with you and the people. So how do you resolve? On the one hand, it says write it. On the other hand, it says it's baal peh. So what are they darshin? Lomar lecha dvarim sha'al peh, I ata rashay la'omran bichtav. V'she bichtav, I ata rashay la'omran al peh. Things that are baal peh, you cannot say them in writing. It's a little weird, say them in writing. I don't know why it's la'omran baal peh bichtav. But it basically means things that are oral, each passed down, you're not allowed to write them down. V'shebichtav, and things that were passed down bichtav, right? That's why we always call it Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh. Torahim shebichtav, iyata rashay la'omran al peh. You can't say it orally. Okay, this is interesting. According to this, you're not allowed to recite psukim bal peh. Because people say, how do we recite? People recite Tehillim and other things. You know, people often do them bal peh. There's a whole Tosfot asks the whole question, what do we do about that? And whatever, he makes some distinctions there. But basically, it says you're not allowed to read, like, say psukim bal peh, and you're not allowed to write down things that were given orally. Okay? Why is this? Okay, so various reasons have been given, right? The most compelling reason, I think, was usually that what most people say is that what? That when you write things down, it can be misinterpreted. When you, you know, like anything, right? You have a... People can interpret it in all different ways, whereas if you explain it to someone, right, it might not be passed down properly with all the... This is classic, right? When the Shulchan Aruch wrote... When he wrote the Shulchan, when Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, people got all angry with him because he didn't write everything down. He just wrote, like, do this without telling you what the other opinions are, where he got it from, anything else. Of course, he wrote it on the Beit Yosef, but nobody saw that. They only saw... And he had this long commentary on the Beit Yosef, which nobody really saw, but because... It wasn't a very popular book. It was a very difficult book, whereas the Shulchan Aruch was very simple and the printing press was created right around then and it got printed and sent out to all sorts of places and people just got it kind of by itself without the Beit Yosef. Even though his intro, he writes in the Beit Yosef, I'm going to give, you know, the perfect book. You have this with this. You know, they complement each other. You have the what to do, the simple, but you also have what's the background and what the other opinions are. Anyway, but that's the danger. You write something down, it's missing all the depth. You can't explain it properly. You can't give everything over. Obviously, one could argue the flip side. How many times do we have it in the Gemara where this one said, I heard this rabbi said this, and he said, I heard this rabbi said this. And when people hear, they hear what they want to hear, and they hear through their own experience, and you know, you don't always get it. You might have fallen asleep in shir for a few minutes and missed something. So, yes. So basically, it's a challenge, right? On the one hand, there was a concern that if they wrote it down, it would, you know, some people say this is why Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah so simple, very simply, so that, right? He was the first one to really write things down. And he wrote it so simply so that there wouldn't be as much room for interpretation and misinterpretation. Because he wrote, like, just some basics, right? That was why they started to write the Mishnah, because they said the halachot is starting to be forgotten. Okay, we're going to get to it on Tepa, the end of Tevav and Tet Zayin, about how in the time of Moshe, all these halachot were forgotten, and then in a later time of the Zugot, really a lot of things were forgotten, and all about why we had to start writing things down, because otherwise we were going to lose everything. So there's like a balance. On the one hand, they didn't want to write things down. On the other hand, it got to a point where things were so bad that they had to start writing them down. Okay, so now, do we do this? Okay, so the first thing we darshed was ketov lecha tadrei ma'ele and al pi adrei ma'ele. So we darshened it, right? Dvarim shebichtav, bichtav, baal peh, baal peh. V'tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, and he had a different way of darshening it. Ketov lecha tadrei ma'ele. God told Moshe, write these things. Ela atakotev, aval ena atakotev halachot. Just these things you can write down, but not, right? Just the Torah shebichtav and not the Torah shebaal peh. So they say, how do they answer this question of how? Now we're back to the question. How could he have even thought to write this letter? Amre, dilma miltacha detashani. Maybe something new is different. When you have something new, then you can write it down because otherwise you might forget it. Taha, Rabbi Yochanan of Rish Lakish. How do we know this? Because Rabbi Yochanan of Rish Lakish, ma'ayne besifra da agadata b'shabta. They were reading in a sefer agadan Shabbat. V'darshe hachi, and they darshened, eit lasot lashem heferu torotecha. And they said, notice they were learning from a book, meaning things were written down. Why was this agadata written down? Because they said, eit lasot lashem heferu torotecha. This is the famous pasuk always brought in this context, that you know, things get to a certain point, you know, in order to protect the Torah, sometimes you have to go against the Torah. Mu'amre, they said, mutav te'aker Torah, better to uproot one halacha in the Torah of not writing down, Devarim Shebaal Peh, ve'al tishtakach Torah Yisrael, but we shouldn't forget all of Torah.
But it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah not to write things down, does it?
Ah, yafeh, so that's interesting. It doesn't say it explicitly. It's a drasha, again, it's an oral, it seems that they had an oral masoret that you're not allowed to write things down.
They're not really but going not, against the Torah.
Right, right. Other explanations, by the way, were given. What is it? K'tov zot alibecha. There's a pasuk in Mishle, right? Put it, write things on your heart. And that one of the reasons they give for not writing Torah Shebaal Peh is that everyone's supposed to take things to their own heart. In other words, when you write things, they become very one, you know, it's the same for everybody, but the Torah is supposed to be more of an individual experience. You're supposed to take from it your own thing, which maybe explains then why this one will say he heard that and that one will hear that, because everybody hears from their own experience actually in a positive way. Okay. Amar Papa. So now we go back to our issue. Hashtada Amar Nisachim Abaim Bifnei Atzman Krevim Afilu Balayla. So now going back to this issue, the Rav Dimi made a distinction between Nisachim Habaim Bifnei Atzman. If I just offer, I want to bring a wine libation on the Mizbeach, that I could do even Balayla. Nizdamnu Nisachim Balayla Makdishim Balayla. If I come across Nisachim at night and I want to sanctify them, I could do it at night. Umakrivin, and I can bring them, put them on the Mizbeach at night. Amar Rav Yosef, Bered Rav Shammai L'Rav Papa. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Shammai, says to Rav Papa, Tanin Demesayalach, I'm going to bring a proof, a brayta to support. We already saw this one. Zeaklal, Kol HaKarev Bayom, Eino Kadosh Ela Bayom, Kol HaKarev Balayla, Kadosh Balayla, right? And then Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, Kadosh Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. So here you have it. If it's, right, if you sanctify it at night, then you sacrifice it at night. Amar Rav Adabar Ava, Va'alot HaShachar Posel Bahen Kevarim. If you sanctify these Nesachim at night and you don't bring them on the Mizbeach at night, when the morning hits, they're Pasul. No different than, right, you might have thought, well, right, what did we learn? Pasul Lina. Remember, if you sanctify something during the day and you leave it overnight, by the morning, at Alot HaShachar, it becomes Pasul. You might have thought, since these are at night, maybe they're not Pasul in the morning. No, the morning is the cutoff point, no matter what. It's like we said, the day of the Mizbeach, of the Beit HaMikdash is from sunrise to sunrise, basically, or to Alot HaShachar of the next day, right? Alot HaShachar is a little before sunrise. So it's also going to possibly. Ki ata Rav Dimi, another thing Rav Dimi said, when he went to Bavel, he said in the name of Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Sadak. Now he's going to darshan that entire pasuk, L'nischehem u'lasham lechem. Ela tasu la'ashem v'mo'adechem. Okay, now we're getting off topic. It's just that he wants to darshan the entire pasuk that we darshan the Nisachim from. Elu chavot habaot chava beregel. Okay, so sorry, I didn't read it right. Elu tasu l'Hashem b'mo'adechem. What are those? Elu chavot habaot chava beregel. Those are all the chavot of the holiday. Levad min yedrechem unitvotechem. Limed al nidarim unidavot shekrevim b'chalo shamo'ed. You're allowed to sacrifice nidarim unidavot on chalo mo'ed. You might have thought these are voluntary offerings. Maybe you're not allowed to bring them on chalo mo'ed. Comes the pasuk to teach you, you're allowed to. It's interesting, there's two ways to read this. One is to say you're allowed to. And others say, you're supposed to. Why would you be supposed to? What does this mean? It means if I'm in my house and I make a neder on any random day, I should bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, dafkan chol hamoed. Why? First of all, it's convenient. I'm there anyway. Ole regalim. But all the more so, then I eat meat, apropos the 9 days, right? The 9 days, you're not allowed to eat meat because it's avelut. On Simchat HaChag, you're supposed to eat a lot of meat. So better to bring all your sacrifices, then you'll eat a lot more meat on the Chag. So therefore, it's adif to do. So there's two ways to read this whole source about all these extra sacrifices. Ula olotechem, bamea katub medaber. So what kind of olot? Iba olat neder hare kvar amur. There's an ola that somebody offers as a voluntary offering that we already said. That comes up under nidrechem and nidvotechem. Iba olat nidava. And if it's a nidava, right, there's different types. Hare alai, hare zeh. If it's an olat nidava, hare kvar amur, nidvotechem. As hayino medaber, ela ba olat yoledia ba olat mitzora. We talked about this in the past, that the yoldot, sometimes they would just go on the chag and bring the olat yoledet. They didn't necessarily do it. What's different about the olat mitzorah and olat yoledet? They have a particular day you're supposed to do it. But if you didn't do it that day, you could even do it on Chol HaMoed. Ulam, or maybe you should do it on Chol HaMoed also. Ulam in chotechem, b'mei ha-katub medaber. So again, we're going to have the same problem. Ibe minchat neder, right? There's different types of minchas. Either you voluntarily, right? Either a neder or a nedava. Ibe minchat neder, harei kvar amur, b'nidrotechem. Ibe minchat nedava, harei kvar amur. So hayino medaber, ela b'minchat chote u'minchat knaot. It must be referring to the mincha of a chote. That's an olevi oreid. Remember, you accidentally do something. You're supposed to bring a korban chatat. If you can't afford it, you bring... Right, you can't afford the meat, you bring a bird, you can't afford the bird, you bring a mincha. That's called a mincha chote. It's an obligatory. That's what they're talking about. It could be brought on Chol HaMoed. And the minchat kna'ot is the sota, with the sota. And when the sota does the whole, they do the whole procedure with the sota, they also bring a mincha. That's also an obligatory. So that's what the minchot are referring to. Ulin nisrechem l'shamechem, that's our pasuk, that's our drasha. Mekish nisachim l'shlamim. Ma shlamim bayom, af nisachim bayom. That's why l'nischechem is there, to teach you this halacha about nisachim, that it's like shlamim, that you can do it during the day. U'l'shamechem, notice these are all the same except for the nisachim. It's an exception, right? All these other ones are saying you can bring these on the chag. This one is coming to teach you, oh, nisachim are only done during the day. L'shamechem, what's that coming to teach you? L'rabot shalmei nazir. Remember, the nazir brings a bunch of korbanot. One of them is a shlamim. His shlamim can be brought also on a chag. Amar, you know, on the Chol HaMoed. So Amar le'Abaye v'leim Amar Shalmei Pesach. Why would you bring Shalmei Nazir? Why don't you bring Shalmei Pesach? I'll explain in a minute why Shalmei Nazir you shouldn't have brought. What's Shalmei Pesach? So Le'al HaSeder, what do we eat? We eat the Korban Pesach. But everyone gets a kezayit. You have to eat a kezayit of it. But sometimes there wasn't more than a kezayit. And they want people to eat al HaSova, right? You're supposed to eat a big meal. So they would bring extra Korbanot Shlamim that night so the people would have a lot of meat to eat. What if you designated your korban shlamim for Pesach, but then you didn't end up sacrificing it that night, and then you end up with an animal designated for korban shlamim? So that you could do on Chol HaMoed. And if you already designate your animal for Shalmei Pesach, you're allowed to sacrifice it on Chol HaMoed. So he's saying, why doesn't it come to include that case? De'i Shalmei Nazir, because Shalmei Nazir isn't a great example. Why? Nidar v'nidavhu. Shalmei Nazir is given as a nidava and a neder. Why? How do we know this? Because... first of all, we're going to prove it, but also a nazir takes upon himself as a vow to do be a nazir. Dehatanya zehaklal. Here we're going to see in a brayta it says, kol shehu nidar. Anything that is a voluntary offering, karev bebamat yachiv. Remember we learned about there's bamot, right? There's bamot that are individual bamot, and then there were, right, these are all mizbechot, altars that were outside the Beit HaMikdash. Now, there's one where, like, I could just bring my own thing, my own little barbecue, okay? Or there were public ones where people would offer things. So now they say on the individual ones, you're only allowed to bring things that are offered voluntarily. V'she'eno nidav v'nidar, but if it's not voluntary offerings, eno karei b'bamat yachid. You can't bring it on a b'mat yachid. Utnan, and it says, ha'mincha v'hanizirot krevim b'bamat yachid, divrei Rabbi Meir. And it says that the minchas and the nazirim, right, the nazir sacrifices, are krevim b'bamat yachid. So what do you see here? Nazir is nidar v'nidav. So what do they say? Just like we did earlier today, even though the guy got in trouble for it, smei mikan nazirut. Erase nazirut from the braita, okay? From this source. I don't remember. Is it a braita or a mishnah? Yeah, it's a braita. So get rid of nizirut from this braita. In other words, it should say haminachot krevim bebamat yachid, but not hanizirut. So then they say, but wait. So fine, maybe this braita doesn't say it. Maybe you could claim that, but it doesn't make sense anyway. Mi kalamanda amar de nazir la nidav nidavu. Really? Could you say it's not nidav nidav? V'haktiv. In other words, if you want to say you can't, what he's basically trying to say is you can't bring a nazir and a bamat yachid. Doesn't it say? Miketz Arba'im Shana. Now we're going to have a story with Avshalom. Avshalom took on a Nizirut Olam. He said, I'm going to be a Nazir forever. A Nazir forever once a year brings sacrifices and shaves. No, he doesn't shave. I think he just brings a sacrifice without shaving. I forget. But anyway, he was a Nazir Olam. And once a year, he brings his sacrifices. And it says, Vayomer Avshalom al HaMelech. So after 40 years, we're going to get to later, after 40 years for what? That's how we're going to end today. Vayomer Avshalom al HaMelech. Elchana Vashalem et Nidri Asher Nodati Lashem. B'Chevron, I'm going to now go to Chevron to pay back my neder. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about Nizirut. And he wants to do it in Chevron. Now, Chevron was a Bamat Yechid. Ki neder nadar of decha v'chule. Because I took on a neder, now I want to fulfill. My lava korban. Lo aikar nidro. So now they say, doesn't it Chevron, referring to the korban, I'm going to bring the korban in Chevron? In which case, what do you see? You could do it in a Bamat Yechid. So they say, lo aikar nidro. No, he was saying, read this sentence, this is a great way, you can read, it's a great example. Ashalemet nidri asher nadarti la'ashem b'chevron. The one I promised to God in Chevron, when I was in Chevron. Not that I'm going to bring the korban in Chevron. It's right, the misplaced modifier. So Amar, Ikar Nidro b'chevron haya? Ikar Nidro Amar. So then they say, Ikar Nidro b'chevron hava? V'halo b'gashur hava. But it says in the Pasuk, he took his neder in Geshur. So then, Amar Rav Acha, V'yitem Rav Rav Chanan, Lo halach Avshalom, Ela lavi kvasim b'chevron. He was saying, it is a time about his korban, but not that he's going to, Ashalem et Nidri, Asher nardati l'Hashem b'chevron, I'm going to go to Chevron to get kvasim. In order to bring it on the Bamat Tzibur. So they say, Hachinami Mistabra, and it makes most sense to say that because Di'itemali Kuve, there's a great proof, I mean, it's a funny proof. Di'itemali Kuve hu da'azil, Shavik Yerushalayim, va'azil l'makru v'chevron. What, anyone in his right mind would not go to Yerushalayim? If he could go to Yerushalayim, why would he go to Chevron and not Yerushalayim? This is making Yerushalayim totally central. We'll see in a minute, they're going to say, why are you saying Yerushalayim was so central, right? There was no Beit HaMikdash in those days. This was in the time of David HaMelech. Elamai, Lavi kvasim mi-chevron, if you wanted to say it was to bring kvasim from Chevron, ha-asher nidarti l'Hashem b'chevron, mi-chevron mi-bayit, it should have said from Chevron and not to Chevron or in Chevron. Ela la'olam la'kruve, really it is la'kruve, which proves what? Neder can be done b'bamat yachid, because he did it in Chevron, and that proves that it's a davar ha-nidar v'nidav, which means you should have said shalmei nazir and shalmei pesach and not shalmei nazir. If you want to say, why did he leave Yerushalayim and go to Chevron, why wouldn't he just go to Yerushalayim? Tikshelach Givon. Your better question would have been Givon. Why Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim, you know, you're thinking later, but in those days, Givon was where the Mishkan was. Dimakom Kadoshu. Ela, Kevan Shu Tru Bamot. That's why didn't he go to Givon? Because once Bamot were Mutar, Kol Hecha Dabai Makriv. You could sacrifice anywhere you wanted. You didn't have to say, oh, the Dafka going to do it. The Mishkan, when there's a terrible amount, you could actually do it anywhere. Okay, now we're going to end with an aside. Arba'im shana leman, what were these 40 years? 40 years from when? Tanya, Rabbi Nehorai, Amar Mishum, Rabbi Yoshua, Miketz arba'im shana sheshalu lahem melech. He says it was 40 years after the people asked for a king. Titanya, here's a brayta that goes through the chronology. Ota shana sheshalu lahem melech, ota shana asirit shel Shmuel hayta. It was the 10th year of Shmuel's being a shofet. Eser shani malach Shmuel batzmo, so before they asked for a king, 10 years he was in charge. Shana achat shamalach Shaul, then starting from there, here we're going to start our 40 years. The one year that just Shaul, shamalach Shaul v'Shmuel, together they were both in charge the first year. Ushtaim shamalach Shaul batzmo, then only Shaul was king, that was another 2 years. Ushloshim v'sheva shamalach David, and this was after the 37 plus the 3 of Shaul, that gets you to 40, and that's when this 40 years was, obviously they're saying, was the end of David's reign. Okay.